All right, so you're listening to this podcast right now, London is Blue, and guess what? We host our podcast on anchor.fm. That's right. If you're looking to host your own podcast, this is the easiest free way to get started. It's got a content creation tool, allows you to record and the podcast right from a phone. That's right. Don't even need a computer, but you can do it there too. They'll also help you distribute it, which is probably the most challenging part. You don't want to have to mess with that. They got you covered. You can get it right on a Spotify and Apple Podcasts, as well as any other place podcasts are found. And you know what? You can monetize it too. Make a little cash for sharing your great content with the world. It's everything you need to make a podcast all in one individual place. So you know what? Head over to your app store, download the Anchor app, or head to anchor.fm to get started if you're ready to launch your podcast and make it happen.
Hi, this is Ruben Loftus-Cheek.
I'm Pat Nevin.
I'm Mason Mount. You're listening to the London is Blue podcast.
All right, Chelsea fans, welcome back to another episode, that's right, of the London is Blue podcast, the best, Chelsea podcast out there. I think Nick's going to nod his head and agree with that one.
Best in the land. Look at us.
We are back doing another preview of a Premier League side, previously a Championship side, for the upcoming Premier League season. And if you know anything about your Chelsea history, you know that Chelsea and Leeds, or as affectionately they're called in most circles, I believe, Nick, Dirty Leeds from
Dirty
Chelsea
Leeds,
perspective.
Yes, of course.
We had to do a little bit of a preview about what's going on down at Elland Road with Leeds, with Bielsa, and none other than Dan Moylan, who runs the Square Ball podcast, been running for over 10 years now, is joining us to give us the lowdown on Leeds. Dan, welcome to the show.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me. Thank you for having a dirty Leeds fan on your show.
Well, we haven't received the invite yet for an opportunity to come on your show, so we might have just ruined that in the first 2 minutes here. Well, we're excited. What we're going to do in this episode, we're going to just kind of talk a little bit about, what's kind of the situation at Leeds, obviously getting promoted, winning the championship last season, coming back to the Premier League for the first time in a long time. Some of the key arrivals and departures, maybe kind of how the squad under Bielsa is improving to get ready for what is going to be a compact Premier League campaign. And then we're going to, have a little fun, learn a little bit about that Leeds perspective, about what's going on at Chelsea. In fact, as we're recording, the Kai Havertz transfer news has been finalized as we start recording this. So you're going to get a little bit of the Kai Havertz excitement bump out of Nick Ferlaini. And then we're going to project the season ahead, make some obvious projections that will be completely wrong, and then get you out of here.
We signed a terrible player at a terrible time. So let's just keep it moving.
Well, anyway, last time Chelsea played Leeds, 19th of December, 2012. It has been a minute, as they say. Leeds lost 1-5 in the League Cup versus Chelsea. Just in case you're wondering, that is 7 years, 8 months, and at time of recording, 16.4 days ago.
But who's counting?
So anyway, Dan, looking at just, the getting promoted, getting back up to the Premier League, the season kind of the second, I believe, season or third season under Bielsa. Like, how excited are you for the season ahead?
Very excited. Bielsa, he's a magician. I don't know what it is that he does on that training ground, but the guy has got a magic touch. And this last 2 years, it's been like a dream come true. I know your boy Frank Lampard dealt us a little bit of a blow when we tried to escape the championship a year ago, but it was a good learning experience for us because the football we've watched over the last 2 years, I mean, I'm old enough to have seen Leeds get promoted in 1990 and then to lift the league championship 2 years later in 1992. I saw us in the Champions League 20 years ago, but this is the best football I've seen in my lifetime.
Well, that is no small praise then. If we look at just at the results for last season, so, 128, drew 9, lost 9, goals 4, 77, goals against 35, so plus 42 goal difference, best in the championship. And if you're going to win it, no surprise that that's the case. A total of 93 points, pretty much at the end there, really coasted. There was that kind of post-restart bump that I think everybody had to work through. But it almost looked like from the start of the season that Leeds just were going to do it from beginning of the season to the end. Is that how you perceived it?
Yeah, you never want to kind of, put it on the line and say, we will do it, we will win it this season. But there was always that feeling that this had to be the season, because if we hadn't gone up this time, we would have lost Calvin Phillips. It would have meant another big financial shakeup at the club. We just couldn't afford to do it. So I think there was always that in the background, but it was just the learning experience of the disappointment from the year before and, you know, a year older, a year wiser, and they were brilliant from start to finish last year. There was a sort of a bump in the road after Christmas, which tends to happen at Leeds or has done when we've been trying to get promoted in years gone by. And that's when the chants of Leeds are falling apart always used to start with the opposition fans, which I'm sure we will get a little bit of in the Premier League as well. We're ready for that. But to be honest, after sort of a 4 or 5 game wobble, they just got right back on it and they cruised it up to the lockdown and we were absolutely on fire at that point. And then, yeah, there was a little bit of a wobble afterwards when we played the first match against Cardiff after the return. But after that Cardiff game, we pretty much just romped the whole league. And I think we were worried that we'd lost the momentum, you know, going into lockdown, but actually coming back out of it again, we were fine after that first game and it ended up quite comfortable, but I can assure you it didn't feel comfortable until it was in the bag.
So Dan, you know, obviously we're not watching Leeds week in, week out, you know, for just a handful of reasons, but for our fans, for our listeners, can you maybe talk about the Bielsa effect, style of play, kind of key players that helped lead you guys last season to kind of winning the championship and then moving into the Premier League?
Yeah, so when Bielsa took over in the summer of 2018, he took a squad of players who had finished, I think it was, you know, mid-table, let's call it 15th or something, the year before. Really, really average season. We were bad. Mm-hmm. We were bad. And the lineup for the first game of the season against Stoke in the 2018-2019 season was, to all intents and purposes, the same lineup that had finished the previous season. And fans at Elland Road were kind of, what is going on here? What's going to happen? And we absolutely destroyed Stoke that day. And it was whatever he did over that summer, like the 8 or 9 weeks of the break and the pre-season training. As I said, the man is a magician. So that was our starting point with Bielsa. It's attacking football. It's attacking football. Patterns of play, overloads, quick switches from one wing to the other to create an overload. All the stuff that you see Pep Guardiola's Man City do. Pep is very much a disciple of Bielsa. So we've been treated to kind of this almost like Man City of the championship for the last 2 years. And we fell short in the first season, but this last season, there was that kind of extra confidence. But to take the same players and just to add to the squad here and there with targeted signings, like we took Helder Costa from Wolves last summer because we needed an extra winger. But Bielsa likes a small squad. We're going into this season in the Premier League with a small squad. He doesn't like many more than about 22, 23 in his squad, which kind of runs contrary to a lot of what a lot of other managers might go for. So small squads, attacking patterns of play, overloads, and lots of enjoyment.
I know Nick has a quick follow-up, but before that, I'm going to guess then that Leeds were one of the sides who voted down a very sensible idea to have 5 substitutes for this season.
Well, I'm not sure, you know, because towards the end of this last season just gone, we were making real use of the 5 subs. Now, Bielsa is very reluctant to use substitutes generally, but you may be aware one of our key players is Pablo Hernandez, and Pablo is 35 now, so we've kind of got to use him sparingly, but we kind of used him like special teams almost, you know, like in NFL special teams to come on at half time because we had the luxury of the extra substitutes. So they would rest him for the first half, wear the opposition down, and then bring him on to sort of unlock the door at half time because we had the 5 subs available. So I don't know. I mean, I think it would suit Leeds because we've got a smaller squad actually to only have 3 subs. But on the other hand, it might allow us to use Pablo more effectively.
So you're talking about kind of a Man City-esque style of play, probably a little bit different, but, you know, generally that kind of, you know, free-flowing attack. Tell me about teams that you guys both struggled with in the championship, you know, styles of play that you came up against and couldn't quite unlock the door for whatever reason, and then teams that you guys beat handily, you know, just looking for kind of styles of play as we head into this season.
Yeah, teams that let Leeds United play, give us the space to operate in, will concede goals against us. We create a lot of attacks anyway. I mean, we played Arsenal in the FA Cup in January at the Emirates, and we absolutely destroyed them for half a game. They didn't know what hit them. because I don't think they've been watching us closely enough, or maybe took it a little bit for granted. But I mean, they beat us in the second half. Quality shone through, but we could have been out of sight in that game. So teams who attack Leeds and give us the space to play in, I think, will concede goals against us. The ones we struggled against were teams that tended to sit very deep and play on the edge of their box and, you know, kind of two lines of four. So we will come up against that less, I think, in the Premier League. But we struggled against that when we were in the Championship because people just weren't giving us the space to play in. You know, I talked about the overloads out wide. So what we'd come up against is, you know, two banks of four, if not nine players sat on the edge of the opposition box. And we were just running into a brick wall over and over again. So that's what we'll be looking for, to have more space to play. And I also think the Premier League is slightly slower than the Championship, which is a little bit more frenetic and physical. Not by a great distance. I think the quality's improved, but I think that little bit of extra time and less physicality in the Premier League might play into our hands a little bit. So I'm sort of quietly optimistic, but I'm not sure what to expect just yet.
We wouldn't know anything about struggling against the back nine. that was basically the bane of our existence as a Chelsea team last year. Yeah, go ahead, Dan.
Well, I was going to say, so let's talk about that squad then, because, you know, when you think about kind of moving back up from the Championship to the Premier League, squad rebuild is going to be a little bit of the table stakes or the conversation that's going to have to be had. Leeds have definitely been busy in some of the upgrading that's happening right now. So, you know, Rodrigo just came in. Acosta's come in from Wolves. You know, you're signing kind of across the board at the moment. How do you feel about the additions that Leeds have, you know, brought in? And is there any one or two that you think are going to be the type of addition that keeps a newly promoted side up?
Yeah, again, I'm sort of quietly optimistic about the business that we're doing. I think the signings, the transfer targets have been very targeted for specific positions. So one of the accusations that you get when you get promoted and start throwing money around is if you look at what Aston Villa did last year and Fulham in years gone by, where they threw all the money at it for 10, 12, maybe even 15 players, and you lose the identity of the side, you know, of the team. It loses its shape and the thing that it was good at when it got promoted. Whereas you look at what Sheffield United did last year, which was to keep their identity and then just add players, you know, carefully into their squad who would build on what they already had. I think that's closer to what Leeds have done this year. Although the sort of market that we seem to be shopping in is kind of elite level players, which has come as a little bit of a surprise, to be perfectly honest. I think none of us expected to get Rodrigo. So you look at where we're targeting signings. I think Rodrigo, a striker, was absolutely necessary. If we can get Rodrigo De Paul from Udinese, who is a fantastic attacking number 10, who's going to be maybe, what, 30, 35 million euros, I think that will be a game changer for Leeds. But apart from that, it was the centre-back position that we needed to fill. Because on our podcast, we spoke to Angus Kinnear, who is the CEO at Leeds. He was previously CEO at Arsenal and West Ham in the past. So plenty of experience in this field. And he told us 3 to 4 key targeted signings they were looking for this summer. And I think Robin Koch at the back instead of Ben White, and then Rodrigo up front. I think maybe 1-2 more and we'll be done.
Was Ben White just down due to the potential cost? You know, because he seemed to have a really meteoric rise, getting linked to a bunch of top Premier League clubs. Brighton looked very keen to keep him, kind of seeing that they had a gem on their hands. Was it really a cost situation? Because he seemed to fit exactly what Leeds and Bielsa was trying to accomplish last year.
Yeah, again, when we spoke to Kinnear said, you know, Ben White would like to come to Leeds. He loved his time there. And they had the finance in place to do it up to a certain point. I think they were quite prepared to pay somewhere between 25 and 30 million pounds to secure his signature. And what he said was, one of the reasons why we're prepared to go so big on him is because he's Bielsa ready. He's attained the fitness standards. And that's something I should have said earlier, actually. You were asking about Bielsa. He expects, I mean, crazy fitness standards. We will be, if we're not the fittest team in the whole of the Premier League, I will be surprised. It's ridiculous standards of body fat, running. Like, he just has his players doing triple sessions in pre-season. So the players have got so much stamina, it's untrue. So it takes a while to get his players up to that standard. So I think they were prepared to pay that extra maybe 5 million, 10 million for Ben White because he was Bielsa ready and he knew exactly what he had to do and how the system works. So that's why they were prepared to pay the money. I think ultimately Brighton just did not want to sell him. And, you know, as is their right, they didn't have to, and they've retained him. But it'll be interesting to see what happens with his career, though, from this point, whether Brighton can, you know, make a decent impression in the Premier League this year. Because if they were to go down, then I suspect they will lose Ben White anyway.
Mm-hmm. So I think the question now is, we want to kind of flip it a little bit, because you're giving us all this great perspective on Leeds and what we should be looking at. We'd love to turn the table a little bit and understand just what are your thoughts about Chelsea as a club and as a side right now, particularly as Leeds come back. And there's a lot of history there. There's also the Lampard and Bielsa kind of situation that unfolded in Championship that I'm sure no one will cover in the build up to either of those two matches. No. It will be an absolutely forgotten moment in time, but just would love to hear your perspective on how do you see the relationship between these two sides unfolding this year?
Yeah, I think it will be interesting to see the coverage around the two fixtures. We'll get all the tired tropes will get brought out about Spygate and all that. But, you know, the TV coverage, it loves that sort of stuff, doesn't it? So if you kind of put all that to one side, it will be interesting to see what like the handshake is like between Bielsa and Lampard. Because I think this is going to be a big season for Lampard. I think a lot of his reputation is on the line this season, because I want to be careful about using the phrase hide behind, but you know, the transfer ban gave him an excuse to, let's say, only go so far last season. I think when it came down to it, Lampard's Chelsea were probably found wanting a little bit when it came to the Champions League and the Cup Final as well. So I think now he's spent the money and he's spent big, he needs to deliver. And I don't think in Abramovich, he's necessarily got the most patient individual. When his money's on the line, he's going to want results. And I know Lampard will get a bit of time because, you know, he's an icon at Chelsea, but I don't think he'll get that much time because I think he needs to prove himself. Because there is an argument from the outside, I think, that Lampard, certainly from a Leeds perspective, obviously Leeds are not going to love him very much because of the playoff semi-final and dancing on the pitch and all that kind of stuff. But I think there's a sense that from the outside that maybe Lampard's one of these managers who's kind of failed upwards. He's not actually done anything really. He took Derby from sixth to sixth in the Championship with a massive budget and some really quality loan players. And Bielsa had him on toast for basically sort of 3.5 games in that season. And then it just so happened that in the playoff semi-final, Lampard flipped the script on him and found something that worked and they turned us over. But we looked comfortable as a club that leads against Derby in that season. So I think he needs to start well, does Lampard, I think, in this next season. And I think Chelsea need to be in the Champions League places from the get-go.
Nick, I think that's how we would feel about where we need to be.
Yeah, it is interesting to hear the outsider's perspective, especially having watched him in a different league, Dan, because I would kind of flip your criticism on its head a little bit. I think when you look at the transfer ban, you look at bringing through 14 young players last year and Chelsea finishing above teams that spent dramatically more than they did. It's quite an achievement in the first season. And to your point about the spending, I don't think they spend on these types of players if they don't have a long-term roadmap for Lampard and for the club. So it will be interesting to see how it all works. I would expect that Stamford Bridge is going to be a video-free zone here for a while, especially around the Leeds fixture. So we'll kind of see how that all evolves, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I think you look at the players that they've signed, you know, all the rivalry and, you know, poking fun aside, like Havertz at, what, 21, Timo Werner at 24, Chilwell's, what, 23? Mm-hmm. They're great signings with an eye to the next 5 years. So it does look like it's a bit of empire building. I mean, Thiago Silva, probably the exception because he's that little bit older, but should bring in that experienced sort of Champions League level head, you would imagine. So they're very shrewd signings, I think. They're good signings, even. I say shrewd. It's a lot of money, a heck of a lot of money. But
they're not exactly bargain basement signings there.
No, I mean, but like you look at Leeds, who have just dropped £27 million on Rodrigo, and he's a player who needs to deliver straight away. We're not going to get a lot of shelf life out of him, but we needed some sort of elite level, you know, ready players, if you like. And I think you've got elite level players there, but who still have their best years in front of them.
So it's definitely interesting to hear. And I think, you know, to Nick's point, to the players that we have coming in, definitely give us, fill us with excitement. You know, I think there's going to be now the challenge of balancing the squad, because it's going to swell a little bit. And we unfortunately have not moved on a couple of players that that we need to, correct, Nick?
Oh, that is true. I was also going to track back slightly to your previous comment about fitness, because one of the prevailing themes that we've had throughout these season previews is that the fixture list is insane this year, as I'm sure you're well aware, Dan. So we used to have a kind of similar fitness minded coach in Antonio Conte, and you know, he rotated very little in his squad, and it did burn players out over a season that was not nearly as compact as this season's going to be. So I guess kind of final question before we get to predictions is, how do you feel like Bielsa needs to adjust his style to what is going to be the most compact fixture list in Premier League history?
Well, what he needs to do and what he will do are two different things, I think. Bielsa will not change what Bielsa does. And to be perfectly honest, there is a kind of a narrative about the Bielsa burnout that maybe that is a mental thing, I think, as much as anything, because his coaching is so technical. It's very sort of tactically focused. But over the last 2 years, this group of players have given him complete buy-in. I've never seen a set of players more committed to an idea than this set of players last year. And the championship, 46 games, and you know, most weeks it is weekend, midweek, and we got through it okay. And okay, we had the break for lockdown, but it was still the same the season before. The players physically are outputting exactly the same levels at the end of the season, if not more, than they were at the start of the season. So I think it's a really special level of fitness they attain. Unlike, you know, seeing output from players that you just cannot imagine possible. Like, I'll give you an example. Mateusz Klich, our Polish international central midfielder, he played just short of 100 games back-to-back for Bielsa, and his output, you know, he's doing 13 kilometres, you know, sort of 9 or 10 miles every game. It's just ridiculous, ridiculous output from these players. So with the smaller amount of games in the Premier League, I think that might help a little bit, just to give them a little bit of recovery time.
Well then, so now that we've gone through the conversation around transfers in and out, expectation, just how crazy some of the conversations are going to be around these matches, because again, the media will not blow any of this out of proportion. We can get to
everything
some
will
predictions.
Be very calm. Yes.
Yeah, it's going to be super calm. No video of the locker room celebrations afterward. No stop crying, Frank Lampard. It's going to be very, very tame. But let's end on some predictions looking at the season ahead. So, Dan, you know, I think the expectation, you know, for this season is maybe a stay up. But I'm wondering, where do you think from a target Leeds is maybe looking at for league placement finish, you know, this season? Is it just stay up and then kind of build in the next season to go for a Europa League spot? Like, what's the viewpoint there?
Do you know what? This is the first season in a couple of years where I'm not quite sure what to expect. It'll be interesting to see how Bielsa's football translates into the Premier League. Mm-hmm. I hope for getting our toes into the top half. That would be, I think, would be an incredible result if we could finish in the top half. Would be absolutely happy with anything in sort of, I don't know, the 12th, 13th, 14th position. I'd rather avoid the scrap and getting drawn into that late in the season. I'd take mid-table. Anywhere around mid-table would be absolutely fine. But where it will actually be, I think, is a tough one to call. It depends on what business we do in the transfer market over the next week or two.
Nick, do you have a prediction?
You guys are spending like you want to be mid-table. So do Everton, though, to be fair. It's going to be really interesting. Like, we were talking about the table earlier, and there are some teams that drastically overperformed expectation last year, like a Sheffield United or a Wolves or any of those squads. I'm not sure you guys are quite there from just a squad level, but I think if you were to finish mid-table, that would be a huge achievement after coming up.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Definitely. Yeah, I think we need a couple more elite level players, and we may just sneak towards halfway.
Awesome. Well, yeah, I would say that my guess is somewhere in like the 10 to 12 spot range. I think this season, just with how challenging it's going to be, I'm going to bet on managers more so than players. Like I think, you know, with how challenging it's going to be, I would bet on a Klopp. I would bet on a Guardiola, you know, Lampard. I'm going to bet on him because he's shown an ability to get it across the line as needed. I'm not going to bet on some of the squads where the managers have been replaced recently or have kind of short tenure. With Bielsa coming in and having a proven track record, I would bet on him to find a way to not have to worry too much. I think then that hopefully then leads into this whole concept of like League Cup, FA Cup. Do you think either of those, do you see a deep run for Leeds in either of those competitions this season?
We'll probably have a run in one of them just despite the fact that we need to stay up. We could do without it, if you know what I mean. I think we'd do well to avoid going anywhere in the cups this year. But of course, if it comes along, you always want to take it, don't you? Because this might be a good year maybe to sneak a League Cup, because priorities are going to be on the Premier League, because like you say, it's going to be a squeeze. So as long as we're safe, I'd be happy with that. But safety has got to be the priority.
Nick, do you agree? Do you think Leeds will go in deep in any cup run, or do you think that it's outside the realm of possibility right now?
I mean, have you in the last 10 years is the question. I think your focus should be solely on the league. And you stay up in the league, you're able to invest more in your squad for the following season when it's a more normalized schedule, hopefully, and the world is semi back to normal. Yeah, I think that's the only kind of smart move for you guys right now.
Yeah, and hopefully Bielsa will rotate just enough to give us a chance in the cups. But yeah, it's got to be, the priority's got to be the league, because the money at stake is just, it's huge, isn't it? It's the entire future of the club.
Well, your League Cup this year should be a youth tournament, right? Like, I mean, the fixture can, it's just too much. Like, there's not, your fittest player in the world is not going to play 60 games in essentially 7 months. It just doesn't work out. Plus having the Euros hanging over you, if you're an international, it's a lot. So yeah, I think there will be a fair amount of rotation, as there usually is in the League Cup and the FA Cup, even through maybe the quarterfinals, because of, you know, that's really when the business needs to get done, is like your February, March timeline. So we'll see.
All right. So for us, we probably have a harder time answering this because we are not as familiar with the full Leeds squad. But who, if your projection holds true, Leeds stay up, they finish top half of the table, who is going to be the player that you're looking at as the player of the season for Leeds this year, or the one that we all should be keeping our eyes on?
Well, based on the transfer activity we've done so far, because you know we're in for Rodrigo De Paul at Udinese, but not done yet. So that's still kind of an idea at the moment. So let's say Pablo Hernandez is the game changer, but Rodrigo should be the one who elevates us to the next level.
Excellent. And then just to get that last little bit of a Leeds perspective around Chelsea, where do you think Chelsea finished this season?
Definitely in the Champions League spots. I would say probably third.
That's a good safe bet. Nick, any last comments around Leeds before we let Dan go and get excited about the upcoming Premier League season?
No, I'm warming up for it. I'm excited. We should talk to you again, Dan. When we get through those fixtures and kind of see how things go. But this is a fun one. We were excited to see you guys come up for all the reasons that we've talked about, and it's nice to have a kind of proper rival back in the top flight.
Definitely. We hope that Leeds add something to the Premier League, and judging by the noises that have been made by the other fans on, you know, Twitter, then I think we'll be a decent addition to the division, and hopefully we can make a little bit of noise.
Well, we are looking forward to a little bit of a scrap-alicious fixture between our two sides. Definitely will not be the cleanest match, I'm just going to guess.
How many players stay on the pitch? Who knows?
Well, it's not the 1970 FA Cup final, so at least two will stay on the pitch. Anyway, that is it. Dan, thank you so much for joining us. We wish you mostly luck in staying up, but not great luck when we face your sides. But we will definitely get you back on later this season to chat about Leeds. And we appreciate your time today.
An absolute pleasure. And I bet you say that to all the other fans.
Absolutely.
You should have heard what I said to the Arsenal podcast. I mean,
only got eyes for blue. Anyway, Nick, a pleasure as always. But until next time, Chelsea fans, keep the blue flag flying high.